All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Better Than Ever. Shit.
I'm not actually inside a women's prison at the moment.
The horniest just went up to like 11.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's a bonus episode.
Tyler, your REM check.
Bonus episode. Bonus episode.
Bonus episode. Bonus episode.
Especially the matter with back milk.
Bonus episode.
With back milk.
Better late than never.
Better late than never.
Better late than never. Fight me if you don't agree.
Long live Arby's. How about a little bonus episode of BLTN? It is trade deadline day. It is in the books. We've bought a bunch of content at OilersNation.com. Recorded Oilers Nation recorded Oilers Nation Radio. Tyler did Oilers Nation every day after doing the Daily Faceoff live trade deadline special right before that. Why not add a little bit of content, but I want to loop you guys into what happened on deadline day for the Oilers. I've got a bunch of feedback that I want to read. I want to give my own thoughts, and I just kind of want to look around the league and just kind of see how it went. Let's do, say, 15, 20 minutes today, okay? We're going to keep her tight. We're just going to keep going. We're going to get to it, but I still got plugs to read. I got business to do. The audio department.ca, of course, they are the title sponsor, but I'm going to jump right into my Star Mechanical plug. Star Mechanical is one of Edmonton's biggest locally owned and operated plumbing and heating businesses here in Edmonton. And over the last 20 years, they've been building many of the homes in our fair city. Visit starmechanical.ca to schedule an appointment and let them help you keep your home running smoothly. So where do we start? What do you want to say? What do you want to think about what the Edmonton Oilers did at the trade deadline? If I can give you a quick recap, if you're wondering how they did, if you're wondering what happened, okay.
I'm ready. Please teach me.
The Oilers didn't do anything today, and you thought they were going to get better.
Shut up, Big Dave. Here's what we got. Coming in to Edmonton. Are you ready? Oops, I didn't mean to push that. Coming into Edmonton, Adam Henrique retained at 75%. So the Oilers are only paying a quarter of what's left on his bill. Sam Carrick comes in at a 50% retained. Troy Stetcher comes in. The rights to goaltender Ty Taylor came in. They've also got a 2024 seventh round pick that came in as part of the Henrique Sam Carrick trade. What went out? The 2024 first round pick. A conditional fourth round pick in 2025, a conditional fifth round pick in 2025, and a fourth round pick in 2027. The last things that went out, the conditional fourth, the conditional fifth, and the fourth round pick in 2027, those are basically free to me. None of those things matter. I don't know if you've been paying attention lately, but the Oilers haven't exactly drafted all that well. So for them to spend four picks, three of which happen next year or beyond, I'm not too concerned about it.
But back now, people love to talk about draft picks. People fucking love draft picks. If there's one thing Satan knows after watching NHL fans over the last 100+ years, it's that you fuckers overvalue these things like crazy.
I agree with you, Satan. I think that given the way the Oilers have drafted over the years, it hasn't been that good. It hasn't been that good at all. So why not spend the picks?
I agree. Spend the picks. Who cares, man? These kids, even if you drafted a first overall or a first round pick this year, 2024, he's 3, 4, 5 years out of helping. Let's be honest. The Oilers have aspirations of winning the Stanley Cup, and that first round pick is going to be late in the first round. What are we even talking about here?
But Satan, sometimes it's nice to have a couple of pennies in your pockets if you want to spend them later. You know what I mean? What about at the NHL draft? You don't always have to pick the picks, but sometimes you want to use them as part of another trade.
Shut up, Quads. Listen, Big Dave, I'm tired of you. The Canucks have been making trades all season, all year long. Old Rutherford, and I mean old Rutherford, has been making moves and taking swings, but that doesn't mean that's always going to fit with the Edmonton Oilers, you know what I mean?
But I love when the Canucks do stuff.
All right, you two. That's not what this is about. You keep your takes to yourself. We're talking Oilers here. So, how do I feel about it? If you're given a passing grade, or if you're given a grade out of 10, I'm going to 6.5. I said it on Oilers Nation Radio today. I think that is a passable grade. C's get degrees. And, well, I'm not overly pumped in terms of the total haul. I'm very happy about the individual pieces. Adam Henrique, love to see him. I think he's going to be a really good player for the Oilers over their final 20-plus games. Troy Stecher, I'm curious to see how they're going to use him on the back end. Is there any opportunity that he's going to outplay Vinny or Cody Ceci? I don't know. Are they going to go 11-7? We haven't seen 11-7 come out in a little while. Maybe now with Troy Stecher, you spread the minutes around and get a little bit more going back there. You get more minutes for Connor and Leon. They roll through that fourth line. I'm just spitballing. Sam Carrick, we saw him get in a fight the other night against Matthew Olivier, which I learned today from Liam is from Mississippi. I would have thought he was from Quebec with a name like that, but I guess I was wrong. Big French contingent down in Mississippi, I've been told. Right? Of course. Right? 100%. Shout out to Mississippi. Now, I wanted more too. I wanted a bigger upgrade on defense than just Troy Stecher. I'm a big fan of Troy Stecher. I actually collaborated with Big Dave on an article up at OilersNation.com just to talk about what he was like in his time in Vancouver. It was... I didn't push the button yet.
It was really nice to work on you on that work with you on that piece. It's not very often we get to collaborate on content that actually hits the website. We're always having a good time on the phone, and we're always talking about shenanigans. But it's not very often I get to write at OilersNation.com, and I had a good time talking about Troy Stecher. I loved him. I loved him! When the Canucks went to the playoffs in 2020, that was the bubble playoffs in Edmonton, Troy Stecher was awesome! They just didn't want to re-sign him, and he keeps going back to Arizona, even though I love him so. Go read the article. I give my takes on Troy Stecher. I think he's a really good player.
I agree. I think he's going to be a fine depth player for the Oilers. We don't know where he's going to fit overall when all is said and done. But right now, what I see is that the Oilers got three players, two specifically that are probably going to contribute on a nightly basis, three players that can help this team down the stretch. They didn't have to give up anything off the roster. And I think that some people don't appreciate that part of it. Yes, Ken Holland spent a first round pick. But to get two players retained at 50% plus, you kind of got to spend, man. You kind of got to spend. I would have preferred the deal that they offered to Calgary for the first round pick and Cody Ceci to get Chris Tanev, but that's not the way it played out. There's nothing you can do about Craig Conroy going to get a shittier deal from another team just because they're not named the Edmonton Oilers. You can't do anything about it, you know? But on the whole, I'd be lying if I wasn't left wanting for more. I'd be lying if there wasn't something else that I just felt like could have happened. I'd look at the Tyler Toffoli deal that when he went to Winnipeg for a second and a third round pick. 50% retained. Man, I would have loved Tyler Toffoli. 50% retained. Come on, man. We could have had not just a legitimate top six, but we could have had a murderous top six. That was one of the only deals that I looked at, kind of wondering if we could have been involved a little bit more. He went to Winnipeg. How's he going to get there? It's a long bus ride from New Jersey, as far as I can tell. I'm not Google Maps, but I'm thinking that's a hell of a drive. On defense, when Chris Tanev went to Dallas and the Oilers struck out on that deal, even though, like I said, they offered something better than what Dallas did, what are you supposed to do about that? Was the check down option? Was it Alex Carrier out of Nashville? Well, he didn't get traded today. They kept him. What are you going to do about that? We don't know if Ken Holland kicked tires on him or not. Who are the other options that you wanted on defense? Who? Noah Hanifin? He went to Vegas. He called his shots. If you read the article at flamesnation.ca from yesterday where Frank Saravalli gave some information on Vancouver radio, Noah Hanifin kind of fucked the Flames there by saying he would only go to a handful of places and a handful of places where he'd be willing to talk about an extension. That plummeted his value. The Oilers didn't have a chance at him. Vegas is Vegas. As much as we love our fair city, Vegas is Vegas.
I always have the best time in Vegas. Let me tell you something. I go out there and I hit the strip, and the first thing I do is I wave down a limo. Satan goes, "Hey, limo driver, I need you to tell me where I can get some cocaine. I need you to tell me where I can get some hookers. And I need you to tell me where I can get some cocaine-filled hookers. That's all I care about in Vegas." Who doesn't want to go there and have a good time? Maybe you gamble, a couple of spins at the table, you win your weekend, maybe you lose your weekend, you lose your wife on the process. It's a great city. Of course Noah Hanifin wants to go there. Come on.
When I asked on Twitter for your thoughts, I was just curious. How would you grade the Oilers trade deadline? That's what I asked. I said, for me, I thought they did okay overall, but everyone else around them did a whole lot more. And for me, that's the only downside. It's still a passing grade. It's interesting, though, today where you say, I'm reasonably happy. I'm okay with what happened. But I would have liked more. People go, "Oh, fuck you. What do you know? You're not GM, bro. You don't know anything about anything. You don't know shit about fuck." It's just like, yeah, I guess. I'm not supposed to have an opinion. Today is also one of the days where it is free shots for everybody who makes content on the internet. We got told off today as a crew from Oilers Nation on live shows, on articles, you name it. We got told off by people because they were just upset. They were upset one way or the other. The Oilers did a great job. Ken Holland's a saint. He's a stud. He's got a huge rhino cock, and that's all you should be talking about. And then the other people thought that he did nothing at all. He's the worst GM of all time, and fuck him. Some of the overreactions on either side of the ledger were very, very entertaining to me. I thought I was pretty much in the middle. Okay, happy. Love the players that they got, specifically Adam Henrique. I think he's great. I think people sleep on Adam Henrique a little bit. But that doesn't mean I wasn't wanting more. That doesn't mean I wasn't hoping for a bigger deal or a top six winger that could help Leon Draisaitl or a top four defenseman that could maybe push everyone down a notch. Dream big. That's what I do. I like to dream big. We just didn't get there. And I'm not upset about it, but I want to know your opinion. It's not just about me today. This is the trade deadline reaction episode. A little bonus episode of Better Late Than Never. My boy Duke says, "I can't believe Holland didn't get Makar, Crosby, LeBron James, and Celine Dion for a 2038 14th round pick. Weren't we meant to go all in? So weak." Listen, if LeBron James ever learns how to skate, he would be a terrifying defenseman. Tell you that much. Vinny DeHarnay's got a wingspan like a pterodactyl. He basically touches board to board. LeBron James, he would be in one net, or he would be in the crease at one end while waving his stick around at the crease of the other. Houdini's Blanket says, whoops, close Twitter. Houdini's Blanket says, "We did okay, but looks worse as the competitor." Oops, sorry, I can't read. Houdini's Blanket, one more time.
"Learn to read, dum-dum.
Did okay, but looks worse as the competition did way better. Added depth, but the biggest holes remain. My over-under on playoff series for this Oilers this year is 1.5. Might win a round, but we won't win two." Like, we're already losing in the playoffs. I love it. Captain Felton, my boy, says, "I give them a B grade. We filled some holes while adding and not subtracting. Everyone is so worried what others are doing, they seem to forget this team can put a hard-fought string of wins together. We're coming for you, Quads."
No, you're not. You wish you could get first place in the Pacific Division. Don't even talk to me about the fact that the Canucks are slipping a little bit. I don't want to talk about it.
Kabir says, "Are we grading it on its own or on a curve? On its own, the probability of a B minus. On a curve, it's closer to a D." Tyler says, "A solid C minus. They added one good player and some stuff around the edges that will help out. Underwhelming. They needed to do more." See, as you, like you can see as I'm reading these already, it's split. We're split out there. We are split out there. Tyler says, not my Tyler, different Tyler. They did do okay, but the team was already, The team that was already here was among the league's best. Adding depth, grit, experience is valuable. Would have liked an upgrade on defense. Doesn't sound like it was out there despite making play for Tanev. And that was like kind of my point earlier. He goes, yeah, I would have liked Tanev too. I really, really would have. But when Calgary turned down that deal, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? You probably go to the Snow Valley Aerial Park that opens on May 31st. It's fun for the whole family. You don't want to go there? Maybe the Rainbow Valley Campground. RainbowValley.com. Rainbow-Valley.com. Online bookings opening soon. Why not park yourself? Do a little camping in Edmonton's only campground. Right? Of course. See how I snuck a plug in there? Matt Coulter says, B, maybe B minus. Looking at comparables, I think we could have done more. Lone Wolf says, so I guess we're banking on Skinner. Riley says, I like the moves they made, but in Holland's entire tenure of 5 years, there are holes on this team that should have been filled. Also, find it just odd the way he would only add players and refuse to upgrade on anyone in the lineup. Specifically, CC is what everybody's kind of talking about, you know? Kind of everybody's talking about. My boy Dangerous Way says A minus. Henrique had 2 less points than Tyler Toffoli, more than Hurdle. Also has more 5-on-5 points than both of them. Henrique, Carrick, and Stetcher are sneaky good additions, which is what we needed. We didn't overpay and added instead of subtracted. So that's kind of one of the things that I don't think people give Ken Holland any credit for. And he probably deserves some, but you know how giving Ken Holland credit for anything is these days. You can't do it. People don't want to hear it. But he added to the lineup. He added 3 useful pieces without subtracting anybody. Now, would I have liked upgrades? We already covered that, of course. BA says, I see what you did, but a C average isn't going to get you anywhere. My mom on my grades in high school and me on Ken Holland's 2024 trade deadline report card. I thought that was kind of funny. That's a good little joke. Furch89 says, A, as in Holland was thinking Arby's beef and cheddar when he should have been thinking what more he could have done to bolster our lineup. Love the additions, but given what others were able to do, I can't help but think there were left opportunities on the table. That's kind of where I'm at. Kind of where I'm at. Ilarion says, everyone around them scared of Edmonton. Brad says, feels like the Oil are penalized for remaining healthy this year at the deadline with the LTIR rules. It does feel like that, doesn't it? Like Mark Stone being out for the remainder of the season with a lacerated spleen. I'm not saying that that's a joke of an injury either, by the way. I took shit on Instagram. Waz clipped a podcast clip from the Wednesday episode, and people are just angry at me. I don't think he's faking it. But it is convenient that within a day or two, the last 3 years, he's been added to the LTIR. Is it not convenient?
Listen, let me tell you about what's going on in Vegas. They booked Satan a limo. Yeah, you already know what I want to do in that limo. But the Golden Knights booked Satan a limo, and I went out and hit the town, and I just said, listen, this has been a great night. I love this limo. It's just me in here. I've got all the drinks and snacks I could offer a whole floor. There's an array of ladies of every different flavor. Satan is happy. Satan likes it. But what do you need, Vegas Golden Knights? How can I help you? What is the payment for this wonderful evening of sex and debauchery? And the answer was, fuckery. I want fuckery. That's what they said. That's what Kelly McCrimmon told me, the Dark Lord. He said, listen, I want to add a bunch of pieces at the deadline. I want to be the villain. I want to be the NHL's heel. I want everybody to hate me. And you know what Satan did? Say no more, fam. We just need to get Mark Stone on that LTIR and finish off the season. So what did I do? Pop! Right in the spleen! Pop! Right in the kidney! Pop! Right in the spleen! Satan punched so hard he lacerated that motherfucker.
Stephen Fiddler says, a solid B deadline. Typically, it's depth moves that result in teams winning the cup rather than the big splashy ones. Floof says, we got marginally better. Rivals got significantly better. In year 5 of Ken Holland, with only 1 or 2 years left in McDavid's window, this is Ken's all-in. It's a gigantic failure. Vegas adds more than us every single year. Holland was a disaster. Maybe Cates should ask for his $25 million back. Rex says, first or second round exit, here we come. Style and Life says terrible compared to what Vegas did. Ocelotis goes a C minus. L says, is there anybody in the Oilers world that expected Warren Fogel to still be an Oiler on March 9th? I kind of did, to be honest. Warren Fogel's been playing really solid hockey. Now, I wouldn't have been opposed to having him as part of a package going out to bring something back. Like, let's say, as an example, the Oilers got Buchnevich, who didn't move anywhere in St. Louis. If they got Buchnevich, they had to clear up some space. Warren Fogel probably would have been included in a deal like that. Now, was that even on the table? No idea. I'm just guessing. Sean Maloney says, B, for the cost it took us for their acquisition. D minus in regards to their direct competition. Joe says, C, I'm just looking at everyone else. Barry says, like a B, maybe closer to a B minus. Flute says, sometimes you need to react to what is happening around you, and Kenny didn't do that. The reigning champs, the team that absolutely worked you last summer in the second round, added three team-changing players, and he decided to do nothing today. I like Henrique. I'm so-so about Carrick, but it's just not enough. JJ says, I think what they didn't do is more important. And we'll see what that means in the coming week. Everyone craps on Holland, but I think he did amazing. Let everyone mess up their chemistry. We'll keep ours. Thanks. Again, there's a good point there as well. Listen, the Oilers they just wrapped up a 5-game win streak, played like shit last night in Columbus, but they still had a 5-game win streak going. They've had a 16-game win streak going. They've had an 8-game win streak going. This is a good hockey team. Let's not forget that. Some people are just kind of thinking that the Oilers are shit, and maybe that's because they played like crap last night in Columbus and they lost, but they're a good hockey team. Are they perfect? No, but very few teams are perfect, if any. Ryan says, glad we didn't overreact. Wish we could have gotten out from under soup, but didn't want to overpay to do it. It's a B for me. Deem says, C plus at best. Holland played checkers while everyone else was playing chess. Just one guy says C minus. Only reason it's not a fail is because of Adam Henrique. Deferrer Euler says B plus. Solid Adam Henrique. Added depth. Didn't lose a major roster player or any prospects. I don't know if any of the big names were ever realistic fit here. And there's a lot of just letter grades ranging from B to D to D plus. There's some F's in there. Vegas got way better. The Jets got way better. Oilers D needed an upgrade, and it just didn't happen. That one came in from Ronnie. CDM says, everyone talking about Vegas Golden Knights like they're a juggernaut who added a bunch of studs. They've been a 500 team for the last 3 months. Blue says, B in a vacuum. D when graded on a curve. All roads go through Vegas and Colorado, and both teams got a lot better, even though they had better rosters going into the deadline. Hope the Oilers can prove me wrong. And then finally, CG says, first round blowout by Vegas ought to prove what old Kenny did. Every scenario Edmonton could play through in the playoffs deliberately built a D to decimate and shit on Edmonton's offense. I'm kissing 97 and 29 goodbye. Hibernating Canadian says, the Oilers trade deadline was an amazing, incredible, near unbelievable example of mediocrity. We're a split fan base on this one. We are a split fan base on this one, but you can tell, I think, at least there's a taste of it where it's just people are wanted more, and I don't blame them. This was Ken Holland's last trade deadline as GM of the Oilers. I was a little surprised he was more aggressive. What does he care if he spends every first round pick from now until we're dead? Who cares? Because a year from now, he is going to be in the Okanagan, probably fishing or something, or whatever old people do. Shuffleboard? Something like that. Either way, I thought it was fine. I'm not offended by what happened. I'm not offended by anything the Oilers did or didn't do. But do I wish they did a little bit more? Sure. I think that's fair. I think that's balanced. I think that shows a fan base that is expecting more out of their hockey club in year 9 of Connor McDavid. Is it year 9? Yeah. It's crazy. We're a decade into his career, and this is kind of the deadline we get. Again, I'm not offended by it. I truly do have reason to believe. Think about what I'm saying.
His name's Fred. Not the dog. Just think about what we're saying here, okay? Let it sink in. Pay attention.
I have reason to believe if Jordan Eberle did not sign an extension this morning with the Seattle Kraken, that he would have been an Edmonton Oiler. You can choose to believe me if you'd want or not. But that's what I'm telling you. In a world where Jordan Eberle comes back to Edmonton because they can't figure out a deal with the Seattle Kraken, we're probably all giving this an A, aren't we? But that didn't happen. The problem there is, was there no plan B? How are you going to make the Jordan Eberle trade work if that was the case?
It was the case.
How are you going to make that work? But there was no check down? I guess that bothers me too, but overall, I think it's a passable grade. A C plus is fine. You get a degree on a C plus, baby. You get a job. You're out there in your career. Either way, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But if I'm a betting man, which I am, I'm going to head on over to Bet99, the number one online gaming experience in Canada. I'm going to place a wager on the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup today because I believe in the team. I believe in the players. And are they perfect? No, they're not. But what I'm telling you is this is a really good hockey team. Let's enjoy it. You can be mad today if you want to be. But let's calm down because we've got two big games coming up this weekend. Buffalo Sabres tomorrow morning at 10:30. The Pittsburgh Penguins at 11 o'clock on Sunday. Let's see what we got here. Let's see what we got rolling into the playoffs. This team is good enough to win. We have to have some things go right. We have to have some players step up. We have to have a little bit of luck. But let's be honest. Not every team that loads up at the deadline goes on to win the Stanley Cup. The Boston Bruins were one of the best teams ever last year. They went all in at the deadline. They got bumped out in the first round. Toronto Maple Leafs went all in at the deadline. They won one game in the second round. Let's see. Let's see if these pieces around the edge are what lifts the core, lifts the team, lifts everybody up to the next level. I believe they can do it. It's just up to them to prove it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.